Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, class. Praise God. So glad that you're with us here Friday night. We love it. Friday Night Live. Boy, we had a powerful service yesterday morning, and we're so thankful for people attending and listening to the Word of the Lord. We've been talking about for the last few weeks on the fire of God in our life. We talked about Paul's exhortation to Timothy. I was reading some more and studying that today. And my, Paul's nearly warning to Timothy, 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 stir up that gift that's within you. It was in your grandmother. It was in your mother. It's in you. You just got to keep it stirred up. So we dealt with that. We went back to Genesis. We talked about the moving of God, the overshadowing God, the brooding spirit of God. We've not been able to get release from this. And we need to hear more about this. This week, and I shared this with our class yesterday, and Paula, I've not been able to get away. Now, last Friday night, we just had a great prayer time, and we didn't get into our lesson. But last Thursday, we talked about Moses on the backside of the desert. Moses, the backside of the desert, and saw a burning bush. And the bush wasn't consumed. The presence of God was there in such a way that he said, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. This whole week, and don't let me throw you with this. This whole week, I've not been able to get out of my spirit this word like desolation, because desert is where he was. He was in the backside of the desert, okay? Now, understand, geographically, it was a desert, but as you know, when we were in Israel, you'd come into a place of oasis, and man, they were palm trees, and they were water, and they was grass, and we're actually talking about this. It was a area where there were grass, because he was a shepherd. He was leading the flock. And so we walked through the class last week who Moses was. Remember when they were executing all the Hebrew children, and the midwives would not execute, and they'd try to hide them, and They'd hid Moses as long as they could, and they put him out in the bulrush, pushed him off with that little floating bassinet on the Nile. Been there, done that. I love when that night we went out one night on the Nile when I was in Egypt in a nice boat, and it was lit up. My goodness, I thought, probably wasn't the kind of boat Moses was in. And he probably wasn't feeling what I was feeling. And that day, Pharaoh's daughter went down to wash herself, and she heard this baby crying, and her heart went out and said, get this child. And the Bible said they drew him out of the water, and that's what the word Moses meant. They drew him out, or he was drawn out of the water. That's what Moses means, drawn out. And she said, well, we've got to have somebody to take care of him. Who can we get? And, of course, there was a young lady there. Said, well, I've got just the right person to take care of this child. And who was that? Don't you love how God works?
Yes, I do.
Love how God puts something together. And raised him right there in Pharaoh's castle in his kingdom. And remember now, 40 years. Everybody say 40 years. 40 years. 40 years. Okay. Some of you can't remember when you was 40 years old, but 40 years numerically means a time of testing. Okay. We could go into that. He was there 40 years. Okay. From the time he was a little few month old baby, he was brought into the castle and he was raised in Pharaoh's house. I mean, he had the best of food. He had the best of clothes. He had the best of accommodations. He had the best wheels a kid could ever have in the chariot, because he was raised in Pharaoh's house. He went to the best schools and learned the hieroglyphics of that day. the languages of that day, the laws of the land of that day. He knew what it was to sit with royalty. He knew what it was to see probably kings come from other countries. He probably was able to sit there at Pharaoh's table at the dainties that they had. I mean, he had the best life a guy could ever have. He went out one day. He's at the age of 40. He went out one day and he saw this taskmaster whipping and punishing a Hebrew, a Jew, a Jewish person, a Hebrew. Well, that's who Moses was. And his heart went out for his brethren. And the Bible said he went, of all things, and he's got to go kill the guy. And he buries him. Well, the next day he goes out and he's checking, walking around his brethren. And he saw two of them bickering and fighting. And he went over there to try to referee the argument. And they said, are you going to do like you did yesterday and kill that guy and bury him in the sand? And he knew then the days were over for him to live in Pharaoh's house. Okay? I never thought of this. You know, generally, if you've been raised in a palace and you've been raised as a king's boy and you start to take a journey, you got an entourage. I mean, you got people that will help you get dressed. They'll lay your clothes out. I mean, they'll get your food prepared for you. They'll get your chariot ready. They'll harness up your horses, the whole nine yards. You probably never thought about this. Hey, wasn't nobody went with him. He slipped out all by himself. Left this incredible comfort zone, and the Bible said he wound up in Midia. Okay? And when he got down there, we know the story. I'm just laying the foundation tonight. We know the story. There was a young lady, and she was watering the camels because that's what the women did. They were the waterers of camels and the goats. And I'm talking about a camel drinks a lot of water. I mean, it would take hours to fill camels up. And they're carrying this water. So Moses goes in there. And boy, he was probably like the young Charlton Heston that we saw on the Ten Commandments. Was that guy forever morally built or not? I was privileged to read his life story. And he let me come into those times that he was there. And he so enjoyed doing that Moses part. And there's the scene that is the parting of the water is by far one of the greatest scenes of the parting of the Red Sea ever, that they ever did. And that was back in the late 40s or 50s or whatever. But it was built. Moses by himself came to this well and they were watering. So he gets there off probably out of his chair and his beast and he starts helping this young lady. And she goes home and tells her dad, well, man, you're back in a hurry. He said, yeah. He said, there's a stranger. I didn't know where he was. He got down and he watered all the camels for us. Didn't you invite him to come and eat with us? Well, you know, time expired there for a little bit. And they brought him into the house and Moses ate with him. And guess what? He marries Jethro's daughter.
He was content to dwell
there. He said, I'm fine right here. Now, you got to get this picture. Yesterday, he was in a castle and a palace. And today, he is down marrying a Midianite girl. So he enters his next 40 years. Always remember this. When you're studying and reading Moses, there was three 40s, okay? He lived to be 120 years old. There was three 40s. 40s in the castle, 40 years as a shepherd, 40 years leading God's people. Okay? We're going to talk about this second 40 in his life. And it definitely was a time of testing. Because he became a shepherd. He became a shepherd. So we picked the story up tonight. That verse 24 in the second chapter of Exodus says, and God heard their groaning. He heard the Israelites groaning. He heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Let me insert something right now. God still remembers his covenant.
Yes.
We may forget. God help America if she forgets. And there's elements there, even in our legislature, with some of the people that's in been voted in, that they don't look at the covenant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as a God covenant. Isn't it sad? They're enemies of Israel. God said, I remembered my covenant that I made with, what was the covenant? I'm going to bless you above the sands of the sea and the stars of the heavens. Abraham, I'm a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he remembered the covenant. Verse 25, he looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them, and he still does. He still does. Now, this time changes, and there's, if you could see it chronologically in years, we are going to jump way ahead into the second 40 years of Moses' life. And the Bible picks up in verse number 1 in chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Moses, wait a minute. He's over here in the castle. He's a king's kid. He's got everything you want. He's got the best life you can live. But now he's became a shepherd. Let me help you with a verse right now, okay? Are you ready for this one? When Joseph brought his dad and his brothers to Egypt, remember that story? Joseph instructed them, don't tell Pharaoh that you are shepherds. Because shepherds are abomination. Did you get that? What did I just say? Shepherds are an abomination in the eyes of the Egyptians. Here's Moses. In the eyes of the Egyptians that he just left would be an abomination. And the Bible said here that he, let's move on to verse number 2. And the Bible said he led the flock to the backside of the desert. I've always wondered, why did he say the backside? Why didn't he just say the front side or the left side or the right side? He led him to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame. And fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now understand this, we have already upped the ante by 40 years. He's been doing this for 40 years. Okay, you on board with that? He's been doing shepherding for 40 years. He's seen a lot of bushes burn. It was a common thing in a desert to see a bush catch on fire. This one was different. This bush burned, but it wasn't consumed. And the Bible said here, and he looked, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, You got to get this tonight. Tell me God wasn't watching Moses. Tell me God's eye wasn't on Moses. Oh, I just heard that, Holy Spirit. Yes. I'm going to tell you this. God's eye was on Moses the day he left Egypt. Because God was saying in his heart of hearts, there'll be a day that I'll bring you back. You're going out now, but I'm going to bring you back. You're leaving now a comfort zone, but I'll bring you back. You're leaving all the 40 years that you've known nothing but bliss and pleasure, and you're going to live 40 years in a wilderness taking care of a bunch of You really supposed to have laughed at that part. You know, I thought I gave a pretty good rendition of the sheep. So 40 years he's taking care of these sheep, and he's been doing it for somebody else. This ain't his flock. This is his father-in-law's flock, and he's working for him. And he's a Hebrew boy. He was raised in a palace. He's now on the backside of a desert. That word desert in some renditions means desolation. Everybody say that with me. Desolation. And all this week, I've not been able to get out of my spirit in my prayer time. Desolation. Moses dealing with desolation. 40 years he's in the wilderness. 40 years he's a shepherd. 40 years he's sleeping in a tent. 40 years every night he'd go to bed, and all he could hear was ba, ba, ba. Now, yeah, I heard it. Now I understand why when you can't sleep, you count sheep. That was the worst thing Moses could have ever done. He didn't want to count sheep. He spent his life getting them out of ravines. He spent his life getting them out of the woods. He spent his life mending their broken legs. He spent his life pouring oil on their head and their wounds and their sores. But get this tonight. The reason that he was there, you got to write, please write this down. Always learn to see the big picture. Always learn to see the big picture. When Moses killed that man, it lets me know that Moses wasn't a patient boy. I mean, he didn't pray about it. He didn't think about it. I mean, he takes him out. He's not patient. He has no patience whatsoever. He's probably haughty. I'm a king's kid. I'm living in a palace. But boy, it don't take long for things to change. Now, he is in desolation. I want to tell you tonight, it's not always bad to be on the backside of the desert. I'm going to say this, especially if God can talk to you there. But so many times we want to complain about our desolation. So many times we want to complain about our situation or what we're going through. Oh, yeah. Let me help you here. So many times we want to complain about when we would say, oh, man, I can remember when I used to do this, or I had this much money to spend, or I lived there, or I had this great job, or I was making this much money, and now look at me now. And if you're not careful, you lose sight of the big picture. You lose sight of the God that loves you and cares for you and never, ever, ever has ever taken his eyes off of you. But if we're not careful, we get wrapped up in the desolation. Okay? And Moses was there. I mean, it's a wilderness. I mean, if you were read, when you read this backside of the desert, if they were different versions of what it was said. Some said it was a wilderness, a great wilderness. I mean, it was a place you didn't want to be in. It was a place you had no desire to be a part of. You'd rather been in the king's palace, but he is there. And the Bible said now, as he's taking care of these sheep, he's been doing this for 40 years, there has been a change in Moses' life. When you start dealing with dumb animals, that'll very well humble you. Now, I'm not saying, you know, because we're the sheep of his pasture, you know, And I'm not saying we're dumb tonight, you know, but sheep are dumb. Sheep are dumb. That's why they have to have a shepherd, Melvin. If you'll ever read in Isaiah, the Bible said he was led as a sheep before his shears or his slaughter. Yet he opened not his mouth. He never said a word. And that's when they were giving a symbolic picture of what sheep do. They just humble themselves and go right up to that old sheep shear and zzz, zzz. They're the ugliest thing. They're beautiful when they got all that fleece on them. But boy, when you get through with them, they are ugly dudes. Yeah, and he had to do all that. He had to shear the sheep. He had to take care of them. He had to listen to them, bah, bah. He'd go to sleep and he'd just listen to them, bah, bah. He'd get up in the morning trying to eat his breakfast, bah, bah. In the middle of the day, have his lunch, bah. That's all he heard. For 40 years and 40 days, 40 years, this is all he has heard. Are you listening to me? But the big picture is, God says, I'm about to take him not to lead sheep, but to lead my people out of bondage. And I got to get him ready to listen to a bunch of murmuring and complaining people. So if he can deal with the bad, the sheep, he can deal with the murmuring of the people. It took me a long time to get there, but I got there. You got it, didn't you? You know what I'm... See, the big picture is God said you're going to be a leader. But if we're not careful, all we can see is desolation. All we can see is the menial task of being a shepherd. All we can see is an abomination in the eyes of Egypt. All we can see is I'm sleeping in a tent. All I can see is I'm cooking my meal on an open fire. I'm sleeping on the floor. I'm sleeping on a rock. I'm sleeping on a mat. That's all I can see. But the big picture is God said, I'm about to change the situation. So desolation, change the situation. Praise God. Desolation. So all of a sudden, the Bible said he saw a burning bush. And now this burning bush, the angel of the Lord, and he saw this burning bush, and he heard his voice, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. The best thing you can ever tell God is just say, Lord, here I am. Don't start going in to the argument. Don't start telling God what he's got to do. That's one of the things with my mama. I just shudder because she's a praying woman, a prayer warrior. But sometimes I just shiver when she says, I told God this morning. I thought, ooh, I understand what you're saying there, but be careful when you say, I told, who are we to tell God anything? Did you get what I just said? Did you get what I just said? Moses didn't say, God, you know, if you really love me, you would have killed Pharaoh before I ever left Egypt, and I'd have never been down here. And God said, yeah, and if you wouldn't have killed that Egyptian and left it to me, I'm going to kill them all anyway. You just tried to get ahead of me and do a job I'm going to do. You getting all this tonight? There's something all of us to learn in the time of our desolation. There's something all of us to learn when things are not going good. There's things for us to learn when things are not like we want them to be, and we feel like we're in a wilderness, and we're bewildered, and we're confused, and we thought we made the right move, and we thought we did the right thing, and wrong things happen. That doesn't mean that God fell off his throne for you. I remember the missionary that had been overseas coming back home and was talking to his wife. And she said, oh, I've made a horrible mistake. We missed God. I missed God on some decisions while he was gone. I missed God. And the wisdom of that missionary said, that's all right. we can find God. God's not far from us. I want to tell you, when you feel like you're in your time of desolation, there's a God that knows exactly where you are. He saw him when he left. He has watched him the next 40 years. And through these 40 years, patience began to come into Moses' life. Oh, yeah. When you're dealing with sheep, you better have some patience. They're going to go over here when you want them to go over there. It's like pastoring the church. They're the sheep and you're the shepherd. You're the under-shepherd of the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, but you're the shepherd of the sheep. Oh, I love that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Every pastor needs to learn this verse of scripture that says, know well the state of thy flock. Every pastor needs to know the state of his flock, every one of them down to the youngest child in the nursery. We say, how you do that with thousands of people? You can do it. You just kind of get smaller as you get bigger. But there's ways to do it. We got to know well the state of our flock. Know how they're doing. And here Moses, for 40 years, he's took care of these sheep. He's heard them. He's dealt with them. And all the time, he's not seeing this big picture, but it's all about to change, and it's going to change in a burning bush. In one moment, you listen to me right now, in one moment, God can change your life forever. And that, my friend, is called favor. I'm going to say this tonight. We're only one person away from our life changing or our season changing forever. We're only one decision away. I remember 1988, maybe 90, sitting in a brand new house in Mobile, Alabama, and it paid for, right next to my mom and dad, on a Sunday morning in the first week of January. All dressed for church in a nice suit. Sit down in my chair in my great room and begin to sob and begin to cry. Paula came in and fully dressed to go to church too, and she said, what's the matter? I said, I feel like I'm a man without a country. I feel like I'm an old wore out shoe and nobody wants me. I had just received in the mail 6 weeks of cancellations of revivals. Someone had told some lies on us. And it had got back to some of the hierarchy of that movement. And they began to reach out to different ones and says, we don't want Robert and Paula to come preach for us anymore. And none of it was true. None of it. But the cancellations, they believed the lies. And I sit there. I was in a time of desolation. But little did I realize that God was about to reveal a burning bush to me that would change my life forever. And that January, we were preaching in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we were processing this hurt. We were processing this, the spirit of loneliness. We could not talk to anybody about what we were feeling in our heart. We could not share with anybody the sentiments of change that we felt God was talking to us about in our prayer times. We were preaching in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And that night, you may have heard me tell this story, that night, the pastor, the former pastor's wife, he had passed away. She was there and she had got hooked on prescription drugs. She was a drug addict. And she was driving her daughter and her son-in-law crazy because of the drugs that she wanted and had to have. And they didn't know what to do. They were losing their mind over this deal. What are we going to do with mama? It's deplorable. She's a pastor's wife. She went to the doctor and they'd got her hooked on some kind of drugs. And man, she was just spaced out. And they'd be calling in the middle of the night. And there would be Juanita and them would go over there. And Tony Perkins would go over there to help. And that night, the pastor stood up and he gave forth a prophetic word. We've not been around too much of this. He gave a prophetic word, and he spoke to Juanita and Tony sitting on the front row. And he said, the Lord would say tonight that what you're going through and what you're facing, the circumstances, the discouragement, the fear, everything that you're facing, God, let me see that you're like a dove and your plumage. I'll never forget that word. I'd never heard that. Your plumage has grown so much that everything that you thought was against you was really for you, and you have outgrown your place, and I'm about to take you to a better one. And Larry, when he said that, God spoke to me and said, Robert, that prophetic word is for you and Paula and your ministry and your future. I never forgot that. And that night, Paula wrote the song, Bring Back the Ark. And all of a sudden, the burning bush and God began to speak to us about the change that was coming, what it was going to cost us. But we begin to see the big picture. See, you're complaining about what's happening when you need to start praising to God about what's about to happen. You missed a great place right then to get excited. You're complaining about what's happening, and you need to start praising God about what is about to happen. God is about to take you from isolation into a time of graduation. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You may be down, but I was laying in the bed, and I don't know, maybe 12:30 last night, I was awakened, and then my spirit leaped inside of me and said, but Joseph was in desolation. Joseph was in a dungeon. Joseph was lied about. He was in a desolation of a dungeon. But when God said, I got ready to bring him up, he didn't realize, but he's about one day or 2 days from being in desolation to elevation. I'm about to elevate him. I'm about to elevate him. Some of the greatest miracles that's ever taken place happened in the time of desolation. Can I tell you that David wrote most of his Psalms in the time as a shepherd boy, all by himself, listening to baa, 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 that one day he'd be the shepherd of Israel and God's people. Desolation. He wrote Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Did he write Psalms 91? That was the same thing that came to me last night. What does Psalms 91 mean? It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. See, sometimes desolation turns into isolation, and isolation ain't too bad. I don't have to have, then don't go off and start another church on me. I don't have to have everybody all the time. But I got to have God all the time. Did you hear what I just said? I don't have to have people all the time, but I need God all the time. I do. I need my times of isolation. I need my times of quietness on the backside of the desert where I can see a burning bush and I can hear my assignment and I can hear my calling and I can feel like I'm on holy ground and I can take my shoes off and I can worship God. Oh, listen to me. You need to find you a burning bush in your life and take your shoes off and don't you leave until God gives you your next assignment. Hallelujah. The backside of the desert isn't a bad place. That's where you'll find your assignment. That's where you'll find your elevation. That's where you'll find your graduation. That's where you'll find your incubation. God's incubating. God's about to hatch something. God's about to show you something. God's about to tell you something. Hey, Joseph, hang on, boy. You're coming out and you're coming up and you're going on and you're just about 2 days away from wearing the best robe and wearing the best ring and you're going to have number two chariot in all the kingdom. Don't get wrapped up in the dungeon and don't get used to it because you're coming out.
Amen. That's it.
I just wish half of you would get as excited about this message as I am tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. What's the burning bush? What is God telling you? Remember the whole series of what we're teaching is the fire of God. The burning bush represented the presence of God. It was the same cloud of fire that led them by night. It was the fire that fell on Elijah's altar on Mount Carmel. It was the fire that burned in Jeremiah when he said, "Give me a lodging place because I don't want to see their faces anymore." It was the same fire that burned then. It was the fire that John the Baptist, oh, where have we missed it? I've been arrested with this one verse, Melvin Bunce. John said, "There is one that's coming after me, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And he didn't end there. And he said, "Fire." We have lost the fire part of it. He didn't just say Holy Ghost. He said the fire. We don't hear that anymore. He said the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost and fire. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Are y'all ready for this? They isolated themselves for 100. What was it? How many days? 10 days. 120 of them isolated themselves and shut themselves off from the world. And all they did was pray and bless God for 10 days. And about 9 o'clock one morning, there was a fire and wind begin to blow and come together and got combustible. And fire set on each one of them.
Amen.
You need to isolate yourself until the fire falls on you again. You need to isolate yourself till you hear from God again. Don't you need to turn I Love Lucy and Gunsmoke off, and you need to shut everything out of your life until you get isolated and shut in with God until the fire falls in your life. Oh, my. Moses. And Moses, the meekest man on earth. You knew that, don't you? He wasn't when he killed that guy. But 40 years in the desert, you done got meek by now. Y'all got to get this tonight. I'm just about to have an explosion. When God said to Moses, go and lead my people out, he went to Pharaoh. And what was the statement he said to Pharaoh? Somebody help me here. Let my people go. Let us go because we're going to go worship. Somebody help me here. We're going to go worship him in a desert place. When you learn to worship God in your desert place. Did you hear me tonight? When you learn to worship God in your time of desolation, God's about to elevate you and you're going to get a brand new assignment and God's about to take you to a place that you have never been in your life. Don't you complain about your desert place. Don't you complain about your isolation. He said, take me to the desert place. And you know the reason he said that? He said, because I know about that desert place. I fell on my knees on holy ground. And that's where I want to take these people. If I can get these people to where I got that day, they're going to be a changed bunch of group. And that's what every pastor ought to be. He ought to stay in his place till the fire of God falls in his life. And he gets a word for God on Sunday morning. And he gets to that pulpit. He has only one desire. I want to take you where I've been this week. Praise God. I am just beside myself tonight. I have not got this out. What is this desolation? What is this burning bush? And he said, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Here am I. And the Bible said, and he said, draw not. Don't do this. Don't come, Moses. Don't come. If you draw nigh right now, yeah. Notice what he said. But I want you to get your shoes off for the place you're on. Listen to me what I'm about to say. There is a way that we better learn to come in to the presence of God. Yes. We don't need strobe lights. We don't need smoke machines. We don't need fog machines. If they do it, that's all fine. You don't need that. We just need to know how to come into the presence of God Almighty till every chain is broken, every spirit of bondage is gone, every body is healed, every mind of fear has been released. He said, take your shoes off. Yes. Yeah. Because Moses, listen to me, you're in a place that you have never been in before. Did you get what I just said? Because he had not been. He had not been in this place. He'd been in the palace. He'd been in desolation. He'd been in the desert. He'd been in the wilderness. But now he is in holy ground. And God is really saying, this is a foretaste of my glory. Because in just a few weeks and months and years, I'm going to take you back to the top of this mountain again, because Horeb and Sinai, all of them were the same mountain. This mountain Horeb, the Mount of God, that's what I'm talking about, where they got the Ten Commandments. God said, I'm going to take you one day, and you're going to get so much into my glory that when you come down, you're going to have to put a veil over your face. They're not going to be able to look on you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, you can tell when your preacher's got it, and you can tell when he ain't. You can tell when the choir's got it, and you can tell when they ain't. And sad to say, there's more times of the ain't than there is the is. God can change all of that. Just give us a burning bush one more time. Set it on fire, God. Set it on fire, God. Set it on fire, God. Set me on fire, God. That should be your prayer. Set me on fire, God. Burn, God. Set me on. You know what the Bible said? That his ministers would be a flame of fire. You know the Bible says that. He didn't say he would be a polar bear sliding down on a sheet of ice, passing out popsicles that are frozen on Sunday morning. He said the man of God is going to be a flame of fire. Oh my, backside of the desert. Take your shoes off, you're on holy ground, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Next verse, notice what he said. All of a sudden the assignment came, and God said, I am am the God of the father of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He had to identify with Moses, his past relationship and family, because he's about to give him assignment to go lead these people out. And Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by the reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. And verse number 8 says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the land unto the God of the land, and a large unto a land of flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, that's horrible, isn't it? Hivites, Jebusites, and all the other ites. I have come to bring them out, to take them in. And I'm going to do it through you. What is the assignment that God wants to do through you? We'll pick back up next week. Father God, there is a mighty, mighty presence of God here tonight. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.